Outsources. This is Ryan Ayala, and I'm wishing you a warm and happy week.
They've just gone crazy.
We want to know what you think of the programming you hear on KGNU. The KGNU comment line is at 303-447-9911. Whether what you hear inspires you to applause, or maybe not, we want to know. Again, that number is 303-447-9911. Let us hear from you.
It's a minute after 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And 7 o'clock on a Monday night means it's time for the Opera Box. Good evening and welcome to the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. Tonight, my playlist focuses on the classics. Not just the great operas, but the classics by the immortal bard Shakespeare. With samples such as this from Verdi's Macbeth. You'll hear others by Carl Maria von Faber, Ambroise Thomas, and Hector Berlioz. So grab your notebook and join me tonight in the Opera Box. There'll be a test.
Discourse!
Vieni, Tafretta, come quickly. Lady Macbeth reads a letter from her husband telling her about his encounter with the witches, and she realizes she's going to have to bolster his courage to do what is necessary if they're going to take over the throne of Scotland. From Macbeth, by Giuseppe Verdi, we heard Fiorenza Casotto, soprano, with Riccardo Muti conducting the new Philharmonia Orchestra. And it's 7.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box with your host, Ron Nadel, and I've got a playlist of operatic scenes inspired by the immortal bard Shakespeare. You know, there are so many famous quotes from Shakespeare, and I'm sure you remember the play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king from Hamlet. In the play and the opera, Hamlet was told by his father's ghost that he'd been poisoned by his brother Claudius. Hamlet swore to avenge his father's murder, but he hesitates, deciding he needs some kind of proof. As if a ghost telling you is not enough. Well, in Act Two of the opera by Ambrose Thomas, but Act Three, actually, in Shakespeare's play, Hamlet plans a test. A troupe of actors are at the court of Denmark, and he instructs them to play a scene about the murder of King Gonzaga. But Hamlet tells them to portray it as a poisoning. And then he'll watch the king's reaction. And if he reacts emotionally, Hamlet will know the truth. And in this scene, Hamlet is watching the king closely. And at the moment of the poisoning scene, Claudius erupts, ordering a halt to the play.
voici paraître des mots contre toi, le traître. Il s'approche, il tient le poison. La reine, dont sa voix perfide, guidera la faible raison. Lui tend une coupe homicide. Il la saisit.
Chassez d'ici ces villes histrions. Oh, tout est écrasé. Frappez le meurtrier, frappez le misérable. Voilà, c'est lui qui versait le poison.
Nothing.
The play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. Hamlet observes King Claudius' violent reaction to actors portraying a scene which depicts just how he murdered his brother, Hamlet's father. From Hamlet, music of Ambrose Thomas, and we heard baritone Thomas Hampson as Hamlet, Samuel Raimi bass as King Claudius, and Antonio de Almeida conducted the London Philharmonic and the Ambrosian Chorus. Well, here we are about 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadell at KGNU. And tonight my program features operas inspired by Shakespeare's plays. Now, it's been said that the only difference between Shakespeare's tragedies and his comedies is that no one dies in the comedies. Well, in Much Ado About Nothing, Beatrice and Benedict are two sharp-tongued characters. They snip and snipe and criticize each other mercilessly, so they hate each other. Everyone knows they're in love, but them. Berlioz named his version of the play after the two main characters. And as with Shakespeare's other comedies, there's a secondary couple and a subplot. In this case, the lovely Ero and Claudio, Benedict's friend, they are engaged to be married. And the friends have hatched a plot to bring Beatrice and Benedict together also. Benedict and Claudio have just returned from battles and are celebrated with a banquet. Ero and her lady-in-waiting, Ursula, step away from the banquet for a moment, even though they laugh about the plot to bring Beatrice and Benedict together. Ero herself is a bit apprehensive about her own approaching wedding. Well, together, Ero and Ursula reflect on the beauty of the evening and the coming weather. From Act One of Beatrice and Benedict by Hector Berlioz.
Je ne puis y songer.
Erol and her lady-in-waiting, Ursula, commenting on the beauty of the evening and Eros' coming wedding. From Beatrice and Benedict, music of Hector Berlioz, we heard soprano Christiane Ada Pierre as Erol, and Helen Watts as Ursula. Colin Davis conducted the London Symphony Orchestra. It's about 27 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Opera Box here on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with my playlist of opera inspired by the immortal bard Shakespeare. And be sure to stay with me after the Opera Box. I'll continue as your host of A Classic Monday, and I'll continue with the theme of music inspired by the Bard of Avon. That's at 8 o'clock tonight, right here on KGNU. The German composer Carl Maria von Weber is considered the first German romantic opera composer. His opera Oberon is based on the French poem about the fairy king, who's a prominent character in Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. The plot of the French poem involves some of the same characters as Shakespeare's. Oberon has quarreled with his queen, Titania, and he has vowed to stay away from her until he can find a human couple who remain true in spite of adversity. And that secondary couple in this opera by Carl Maria von Weber is the knight Sir Huon of Bordeaux and Raitza, the daughter of the Caliph of Baghdad. In this scene from Act One, Huon, accompanied by a host of fairies, is brought before King Oberon, and Huon is charged with the task of capturing Raitza and returning with her. From Weber's Oberon.
Muss sie sinken in ihr. Mein Held, getrost.
Sir Huon of Bordeaux, given the mission of rescuing the beautiful Raitsa by Oberon, the King of the Fairies. From Oberon by Carl Maria von Weber. We heard the great tenor Placido Domingo as Huon and tenor Donald Grobe as Oberon. Raphael Kublik conducted the Bavarian Radio Orchestra and Chorus. And we are 17 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadel here at KGNU. And I've got a program of opera inspired by the plays of William Shakespeare. Well, Hamlet might be the most famous play by Shakespeare, but the most famous villain in all of Shakespeare is Iago from Othello. And he's made even more villainous by the great music of Giuseppe Verdi. Verdi was, for the most part, retired from composition after the success of Aida in 1871. And he wanted to sort of go out on top, as Rossini had done after William Tell. Rossini was only 37 years old and was retired for the next 37 years. Well, Verdi's publisher, Giulio Ricordi, thought that that would be a waste of his talent and a huge waste of potential profits. So he worked on Verdi, regularly making a variety of suggested projects, suggesting revisions of older works, trying to lure him back into composition. Verdi was in his 60s and having a change of life crisis, and he just wasn't interested. Until it was suggested to him that he try Othello as a collaboration with the Italian composer Arrigo Boito for librettist. Well, in 1879, Verdi's resistance was worn down and he began to work on Othello with Boito. So, in Act Two of Verdi's opera, we learn about the evil Iago's plot to bring down Othello. He's going to make Othello jealous and believe that his wife Desdemona has been untrue. So in this famous aria from Act Two, Iago declares his belief in a cruel god. Credo in un Dio crudel. Well, by the end of the act, he convinces the jealous Othello that his wife Desdemona is guilty of infidelity, and together they sing of their plot to have revenge. Two great moments from Othello, music by Giuseppe Verdi.
Lacrima, bacio, sguardo, sacre.
Yes, by heaven. Otello swears he'll avenge his wife's adultery with the urging and false evidence of the evil Iago. And before that, Iago, pleased with his evil plan to ruin the lives of the innocent Desdemona and Othello, declares his belief in a cruel god. Well, we heard the versatile and great Placido Domingo as Othello, with Cheryl Milnes as the evil Iago. James Levine conducted the National Philharmonic Orchestra. Well, I'm going to close tonight's operatic Shakespeare program with music from Verdi's adaptation of Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor when we come back.
Thank you for giving during Colorado Gives Day this year. We are community powered because of our amazing volunteers, partners, and donors. We couldn't do it without you.
The United States is acting against the dictator Maduro, who uses the same repressive tactics that have been employed in Cuba for decades.
That's National Security Advisor John Bolton in Miami, Florida last month. For an economic history of Venezuela and a discussion of the impact of Trump administration tactics in Latin America today, tune in to hear Professor Steve Elner, Tuesday at 6 o'clock on Hemispheres.
Giuseppe Verdi is known for his dramatic music in support of his tragedies, as we just heard in that great excerpt from Othello. Well, at the age of 79, Verdi decided to compose a comedy based on The Merry Wives of Windsor by Shakespeare called Falstaff. Not only did he compose a masterpiece of comedy, he completely adopted a new style. Instead of the usual format of operatic numbers separated by moments of narrative, he composed Falstaff as a continuously evolving style of music. Falstaff is a knight who also appears in a couple of other Shakespeare's plays with King Henry. But in this play, Falstaff is a bloated drinker and chaser of women. Sitting in a pub with some friends, he muses on his state, his current situation, his lack of money, and he hatches a plan. He plots to woo two rich married women so as to get them to support him. And so he writes two identical love letters. And in this scene from the end of Act One, he calls for a page to deliver the letters. His friends criticize him for such a lack of honor. Well, as the page runs off to deliver the letters separately, Falstaff defends himself. Can honor fill your empty stomach? No. Can honor heal broken bones? No. Does a dead man feel honor? No. And angry at his friend's criticisms, he grabs a broom and chases them out of the pub.
Hey, Pancho! Andate in penury! Ma non più a me! Tu le tre vendi per due signore! Consegna il posto, corri via! Esto ha, esto ha, la 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 la! Dolore! Ladri! Voi state lì già l'onor vostro! Sempre noi possiamo star lì già al nostro io stesso sì io devo valor da un lato porre timore di Dio e per necessità svia strada temi ed equivoci che streggiar ordeggiare e voi
volte voci tenti e colloquiata torta da gatto parlo e feci segnazzi e fece scorta io sonor e nor e nor e nor che ciancia che paia.
No, può l'onor rimettervi uno stinco? Non può, né un piede, no, né un dito, no, né un cappello, no. L'onor non è chirurgo, che dunque una parola. Che c'è in questa parola?
C'è dell'archebo là.
C'è il costrutto.
L'onore lo può sentir chi è morto?
No.
Vive sol coi vivi,
neppure, perché a torto lo gonfia le lusinghe, lo corrompe l'orgoglio, l'amor va le calunnie. E per me non ne voglio, no, non ne voglio, no, no. Per tornare a voi, furfanti, ho atteso troppo e vi distaggio. Ah, esti, esti, al galoppo, il contesto si viene di sta. Esti, 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 al galoppo, erri!
The bloated drinker and chaser of women, Falstaff, chasing his friends out of the Boar's Head pub for criticizing his lack of honor in writing two identical love letters to two married women in an effort to get them to support him. Hilarity ensues. We heard the great Geraint Evans as Falstaff Garrick Schulte conducted the RCA Italian Opera Orchestra. This is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me for tonight's Opera Box review of Shakespeare. Stay tuned for a classic Monday. The Shakespeare continues. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
December is the perfect time to get rid of an unwanted car and get a tax receipt before the end of the year. You can be part of the hundreds of people who donate their car each year in support of local radio, KGNU. We make it easy because we handle everything. Call 844-KGNU-CAR for more information. Our elves are available to answer all your questions and to schedule a convenient pickup time for your car. More info is available at kgnu.org.
Well, good evening once again. Welcome to KGNU's A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, and I want to tell you a story. Actually, I'm going to play you some stories. Tonight, I'm continuing with the ninth in my series of programs of classical music illustrating some kind of unspoken narrative, stories, scenes, nature, and places. And tonight's stories are all inspired by Shakespeare, like Elgar's Falstaff. In spite of Elgar's title and Verdi's play, there is no Shakespeare play called Falstaff. He's a character who appears in several Shakespeare plays. We're also going to hear music of Mendelssohn, Payne, Shostakovich, Tchaikovsky, and more. And grab that notebook and join me. There will be a test. Falstaff and Prince Henry. The first movement in Edward Elgar's symphonic study, Falstaff. In that recording, we heard Martin Brabbins conducting the BBC Scottish